Voices of Hope is a podcast of New Hope Presbyterian Church of Castle Rock, Colorado. New Hope is a church that puts people first. You can listen to our sermons and podcasts on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and any other popular podcast platforms. This week, Pastor Russ brings us a sermon called True Faith. It comes from James chapter 1, verse 27, and chapter 2, verses 8 through 20.
We're coming to the end of this amazing celebration of athletic prowess that we call the Olympics. And if you're like me and you watch the various events, it always is amazing to me how easy it looks for them to do what they do. Whether it is surfing, running, gymnastics, basketball, golf, tennis, badminton, events I've never heard of, they still make it look easy. I want you to think for just a moment, one of those times when you tried to learn how to do a new sport or activity, and just what went into that, particularly if you got good at it, what it took. I remember the first time I took a golf lesson, and it looks so easy. The ball is sitting there. It's not moving. It's teed up just for the right height. And yet, there is these special clubs just for this particular activity. And I'm not moving. I'm not riding a horse. I'm not running. I just have to stand there. And they tell you how to grab, you know, then you take this club and then you have to turn this way and then that way. And then they tell you, you know, keep the weight on the balls of your feet, but stay balanced. And then, you know, put your feet a certain distance and put the ball there. And, you know, by the end of it all, it feels like, you know, you're kind of like this. And then to make matters worse, it's precisely at that point, isn't it? Precisely at that point when they say, now, don't overthink it. Just let it flow. I want you to think about whether it was what sport, what activity, biking, drawing, piano, dance, whatever it was. Do you remember how awkward it felt before it began to feel somewhat natural? Keep that in mind, would you? Because I think that's a good entry into what we're talking about today. How is it that something so simple, that seems so simple, can be so hard? And if it was just sports, that'd be one thing. But our passage today is having to do with faith. And we're talking about how do we keep a faith that is simple? We want something that is simple. And then we come to church, or we get into it, and then it feels like one rule after another, and then it's another, and then somebody says, here, let me simplify it. Oh, thank goodness. You do well when you really fulfill the royal law found in Scripture. Love your neighbor as yourself. What could be easier than that? What could be easier than just, we like that, and then we try it. It's called the royal law. It is not just in James, of course. This is quoted throughout the entire Bible. Jesus says it in all the Gospels. And he's quoting Leviticus. So we have the Old Testament, we have the New Testament, we have the followers of Jesus. Paul says it twice, once in Romans, once in Galatians. He quotes the exact same thing. They all say the same thing. You know what? Make it simple. It's as simple as this. Love your neighbor as yourself. Got it. But it's never that easy. This morning I want to talk about how is something so simple at the same time so hard? And then how do we untangle ourselves from all of that? One of the things I think we do to make this more difficult, do we make this more complicated, is, as Jordan mentioned earlier today, we take that passage about faith and actions, and we separate them. We make faith really complicated because we have separated the affirmations of our faith with the actions of our faith. as if you could do one without the other, part of this whole long passage. And James is a long passage, and it does this circular kind of thing. It doesn't fall into a regular sort of an outline, if you will. In fact, next week, I've invited a friend, Rabbi Joe Charnas, to come. And after the service, during the second hour, anybody who wants to just talk, we just noticed that there are so many parallels between James and the Old Testament, Jewish rabbinical teaching and thinking, and just how those themes are interwoven. It's not straightforward, and so Joe's going to come next week, and we'll do that after the first service. But in that, there is this just hard-headed, practical. Listen, in the same way, faith is dead when it doesn't result in faithful activity. With the affirmations of what we say we believe are separated from what we actually do. And someone might claim, listen, you have faith and I have action. But how can I see your faith apart from your actions? Faith is about aligning our lives with the reality of God. Not just our words, those are important. Not just our affirmations and our beliefs, those are important. All of those are necessary, but by themselves they're not sufficient. If we treat faith as something that we just affirm and we talk about and sing about and pray about, and it never really connects over here, we have made this very complicated. More than that, we have something that James, Paul, Jesus, the prophets wouldn't recognize. If that wasn't simple enough, the two verses before this whole passage is one of those famous passages in James where he just says, listen, here's what it's about. The kind that is pure and faultless before God is this: care for orphans and widows in their difficulties and keep the world from contaminating us. Again, simple. We make it difficult. On my best days, it feels simple. On my best days, it feels like there is flow, but there aren't enough of those best days, I have to say. Oftentimes, we prefer to make it complicated. I think we make it complicated because, in fact, it's easier to complicate things than to do what is simple but hard. I think sometimes we use our faith or the excuse of it to, on the one hand, suspicious that it can't be that simple, but the other part is I think sometimes, doesn't it seem to you too, that we project some of our own darkest and our own motivations and fears and our own ego, and then we just ask God to somehow baptize that. Isn't it that where we somehow get into this ridiculous kind of thinking and we begin to argue about faith and we get to these crazy arguments, don't we? We get to this part where we say, you know, as if my infinitely loving God is better than your infinitely loving God. In fact, my infinitely loving God is so much better than your infinitely loving God that you can't be here. We can't sit at the same table. We can't sing in the same sanctuary. Somehow we need to exclude one of us. These crazy kinds of things that just... When Richard Rohr says, religion is a great place to hide from God, this is what he's talking about. Religion can be one of those great things. The practice of our faith can be the great portal by which we connect with God in deep and powerful ways when we align ourselves, but it can also be the place that we hide from God. Religion could be the place that we hide with God. We can come as place of a refuge with God, but it can also serve as this place where we don't have to do the hard work of the soul. And we can busy ourselves and complicate things. But true faith, the faith that is meaningful, the faith that connects us, is the kind of faith that somehow aligns ourselves with God. And not just our actions, but beginning with our minds. How do we align with the heart of God? How do we align with the way God sees us and the way God sees one another? This piece that Joy put together is a beautiful piece that gets to exactly that part. And as you're watching this, to be asking yourself, where is faith simple for you and where have we complicated it? Where is it flowing? And where is it blocked? And maybe it begins with beginning to see the way God sees us.
How does God's name become holy? All people walk through life asking, "Please love me," which is in the very heart of Jesus, reaching out to each stranger, different, fumbling, difficult one of us, saying, "I am the face of love for you. Whoever, wherever, and however you are." God is always choosing each of us to uniquely be the face of divine love in a way no one else can or will. May we go at life with such compassion, kindness, and hope that those qualities will somehow be etched in our faces, reflecting for others, "I will be the face of love for you." When we pay attention, we recognize that everyone needs to be greeted by the face of love, the poor and sick, children, those hungry and without a home, and beginning with those at our tables, and even those we count as enemies. No one never called me no son of God before. I'll be the face of God for you. Is there one, or are there some, who need you to be the face of love for them because you are uniquely equipped to be that face? Is it possible that someone you will encounter with compassion today might be the one who thinks, "No one ever saw me as no son of God before"?
On my best days, I get that. I just don't have enough best days. Too many days, I make it more complicated. How do you get to that? How do you get that to be more of your best days? How do I? It turns out that annoying coach and that advice that they give you once you're all twisted up and trying to figure it all out isn't completely wrong. That there really is a flow that needs to be found. And while there is technique and discipline involved, you don't have to manufacture it. You have to find it. Especially when it comes to love, the love that God has, it is not a matter of conjuring it up and trying really hard and working hard at it as much as finding a way to channel it. Because this love is the generative force of God. It is the generating, creating, recreating, redeeming work of God that's already here. And it's what created you, and it's what created me. It's what's created this world. It is waiting to be lived through us. And so there are some things that we can do and some technique and disciplines that we need to do to train ourselves. Not unlike an athlete has to train themselves so that what their mind is telling them to do, their muscles can do, and they'll be in sync. There are things that you and I can do in order so that this creating generative work of God that has created us and is trying to create through us can work, and so that we don't get in our own way. That there really is a flow that is part of this universe, and we get to be a part of it. James goes on to talk about that when he says in our passage, and he'll say, in every way then, speak and act as people who will be judged by the law of freedom. There's two laws that are mentioned, and they're really complementary. One's the royal law, the law of the kingdom, and then this law of freedom, which seems a little paradoxical. How can you be free and have a law? How do you focus on a law and at the same time be free? It is a paradox that is well known in Scripture. Paul himself talks about it in those same exact words when in his book, letter to Galatians, when he says, you were called to freedom, but don't let that freedom be an opportunity for self-indulgence. Rather, through love, become slaves to one another. It is as we serve one another, it is as we give ourselves to one another, then that we become free, because we start to get out of the way. And something of God can start to work in us and through us. Saint Francis knew that. Lord, make me an instrument, make me a channel of your peace. Lord, get me out of the way. Because the things that we do that get obstruct are often because I have great intentions, but there are things that I keep doing that get in my own way. I was just listing some of the things this week of how do we get in our own way? How do we get out of sync with God? And it has to do with things like when we're with other people, what gets in the way is when somebody's more concerned with getting credit than for actually accomplishing what needs to be accomplished. We get in our own way and we make a hash of things when someone or many people have a need more to be right. And they need to be acknowledged as such than for what it is that we're trying to do together. When someone needs control. Now, I know immediately you're thinking of three people in your life right now who that applies to. Just know that they may be thinking of you right now, too. When people become objects to the goals that we're doing, when I love my neighbor not as myself, but for myself. It's because of what they're going to get me and what they're going to do for me. That's what this whole thing about you're favoring the rich over the poor. It's because of what you think these people are going to do for you. You're not loving your neighbor as yourself. You're loving them for yourself. I'm part of a group that's in our presbytery, and we're beginning to take a look for hiring someone to lead the presbytery. And right now we're trying to get a group together to look for them. And somebody came up with this list of wonderful qualities of how are you going to work together. And first of all, this is a spiritual discernment process. Great. We're supposed to say stuff like that. And then one of the things stuck out at me, this is someone who's been in a group when they put this down. We want someone who is listening focused, is good at listening and interpreting what they have heard without having an unquenchable need to be heard. I thought, oh, somebody's been in a group before. Somebody knows what it is to complicate things. Somebody knows what it is when you get in your own way. And then the first quality is willing to serve. It is in serving, is as we get out of our own way, it is as we empty ourselves that we begin to find freedom. True faith shows up when we combine the royal law, let's love our neighbor as ourselves, with the law of freedom, let's give ourselves away. It is in that that we align ourselves, our whole life, not just our words, our best intentions, our whole lives, with the very life and love of God, the generative work of God in our midst and in our world. We begin to see with the eyes of God. We begin to align our whole lives, and we begin to make that an essential focus, because this takes practice. Anything important takes practice. But then that's okay, because when we are practicing, we're acknowledging with humility that we are learners. Or, in the words of the Bible, we are disciples. That we're not expecting ourselves to be perfect, but we do expect ourselves to give ourselves to the task of learning. It is not easy. It is simple, but it is not easy. And I'm guessing it is this last aspect, this part that it takes work. And we'd rather complicate it and do all these other things rather than get to this work that gets to it. When G.K. Chesterton... When G.K. Chesterton said, Christianity has not so much been tried and found wanting as found difficult and largely left untried. That this is what he's talking about. He's talking about that part that we can talk a good faith and we can fog the air with all our theories about God and make pronouncements about God, but it's this good and hard work that we do because it's worth the effort. It's worth the effort. Faith, apart from action, when we divorce those two from is dead. It's toxic. When paired with love, it begins to come alive. Faith, and the life of faith is simple, but it requires work. It can be a refuge from God. It can also be a doorway into a new life with God. When the royal law and the law of liberty are combined, when they are aligned, then faith can come alive. And so can we. And so can we. Would you pray with me? We come this morning, O God, in humility, mindful that there are way too few of our best days. That too many days we get in the way and we fail to love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We fail to love our neighbor as ourselves. We come asking for forgiveness. We come asking for healing. We come asking for wisdom, for strength, for discernment, that we might learn. And in learning, our lives might become a doorway for others. And in our faith, people would encounter your faith and your heart and your life. Through Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Voices of Hope. If you've enjoyed our podcast, please rate and review it and share it with your friends. Go in peace and have a wonderful week.